Tango Tango Papa 2090, December 20th, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this morning from home once again. So, I woke up this morning, I don't know, it was about 5:30 a.m. I had the alarm set. I think the alarm's not even supposed to go off yet. I have it set at 7. Right now it's 6:19 a.m., but I woke up at 5:30, kind of thinking about the topic that I've thought a little bit about it before, but never quite the way I thought of it this morning, and I just kind of feel like I should talk about it, so. A lot of times when I'm driving down the road, I'll realize this and I'll realize that, and oftentimes I'll make a note of it, but then the problem, and I could actually make a podcast right there about it or whatever, at least think about it out loud or write about it to a certain extent, but 'cause that's really how I tend to think, because there's something about the immediacy of either the writing process or the process of speaking coherently that demands I don't know. It ends up resulting. It makes some whatever demands it makes, but it ends up resulting in me thinking about things in a different way, kind of seeing things from a different approach. So, in any case, when I'm driving down the road, that's there's times, and then I write, make a note of it. And then I come back to it later, and it's like, well, the moment's gone, and sometimes I even have a hard time figuring out what the heck I meant when I made my note. So I think it's actually, let's be realistic, it's better to be able to talk about these things really while they're kind of fresh in my mind. So... But at 9:30 a.m., I've got an appointment that I've got to go to in town, so I've got to be there. I need to be there by 9. And so this gives me time. It's only 6:22 a.m. And but in any case, the topic that I want to talk about is... And I think I've confused the two and myself in the past. I don't know about other people, but I've certainly, personally, I can say I've confused these two topics. And that's what I'm talking about is the idea of meaning versus the idea of salvation. And I don't know. I think that... people probably get these two things confused, and what is the difference? What is meaning, and what is salvation, and how do the two things sort of relate to each other? And are they the same thing? And I'm not really sure if they're the same thing or not. I don't think they are. I think that there's a difference between the two things. There's a difference between salvation and meaning. There's a distinct difference between the two. So, you know, when people, you know, they talk about salvation, I guess they're talking, you know, a lot of people, it depends on who you talk to, I suppose, but they're talking about a very specific thing. You know, there's a lot of Christian people that, you know, that will tell you you've got, you know, you go through a certain formula and you have salvation. And I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that, but at the same time, does that, I don't think salvation per se guarantees meaning. And what are you being saved from? You know, when you're saved, what are you saved from? Are you saved from a life of meaninglessness? No. You're saved from a sinful existence. You're saved from an existence where you're missing the mark. Now, is it possible to, what does missing the mark mean? Does missing the mark mean that you're not going to have a meaningful existence? Was that what it means? Or does it mean something else? I think if you're missing the mark, it seems to me that you're really separated from your Creator. You know, and if you, you know, or if you're an atheist, or if you think you're an atheist, just change the word. Conscience. So I think that's really what sin is. You're sort of separated. Now, part of that's your own doing, because we have this concept of part of it, you know, there's this idea that we're born in sin, meaning that we have a proclivity to not want to follow what our, you know, kind of follow our conscience, let's say, to not do what we know is right, because usually in most of us there's something that's telling us what kind of, you know, this is right and that's wrong, and we violate that typically at our peril. You know, a lot of times people do things that are wrong, and they'll say, I knew that was wrong afterwards, and then but they just didn't listen. So I think salvation probably, in my mind, if I'm thinking about this right, salvation probably has more to do with being sort of saved from being separate from your Creator, or if you want to call it conscious, it's early in the morning, conscience. So I think salvation is a different thing, but and I think meaning is kind of tied in with those things. the concept of meaning. And, you know, we human beings have a, you know, you could almost call it an instinct for meaning, meaning that it's a very deep-seated drive that we have. And I think it's on the order, you know, it's a different type of drive, but it's on the order of thirst and hunger. We're looking for meaning, whether we realize it or not. It's obviously better to realize it. You know, it's better to realize, you know, you need to drink liquids, you need to eat. Beyond that, you need to eat the right foods. But, you know, because that can get you into trouble too. But, you know, and you can do these things in the wrong way. You can eat in the wrong way. You can drink water in the wrong way. You know, actually, if you drink water wrongly, it can kill you. And certainly, if you try to breathe it, it's going to kill you. So I think in a certain way you could say that we can find meaning in the wrong way. You know, kind of looking for love in all the wrong places, like the old song goes. So, take a sip of tea there. So I think that the two things are different. I think that salvation is, that's maybe more of an initial idea of being, I think it's more, it has more to do with unifying with your Creator or with conscience, whereas meaning, finding meaning in your existence, I think meaning has more to do with perhaps once you've unified with that conscience, meaning has more to do with sort of negotiating with that conscience or with your Creator as you navigate the world. And, you know, what is right? What is wrong? What should I do now? What's the next step? Would this be a good step or a bad step? And it's not always obvious, and I, you know, and it's not always, I don't believe that, you know, I know a lot of people think that, you know, a lot of things are predetermined or whatever, and maybe, you know, I don't know. I think that's, you know, that's kind of a mystery. It's sort of like the mystery, well, you know, nature versus nurture. Maybe it's 50-50. 50% nature, 50% nurture. But, you know, we can't really explain it. Can we explain consciousness itself? No. There are people that think that consciousness just, you know, the reductionists simply think that everything can be reduced to matter and that consciousness just somehow arises from neuron cells that are networked together properly. Well, you know, I defy, you know, you could take however many computers and, you know, just imagine how many computers there are in the world and you network them all together. We've kind of done that. Network them all together and you have something conscious? No. It's just a bunch of computers networked together following a list of instructions. That's not consciousness. Maybe that's a memory store, and you can do some very clever things with algorithms, but it's not consciousness. Consciousness has something to do with conscience. Get these words right. So meaning is something, is an instinct, it's a drive that human beings have, that kind of goes maybe that the meaning or the instinct for meaning perhaps has something to do with the drive for salvation. Because we do need to be saved. Why? Because we, you know, all who sin are slaves. So, in other words, all who miss the mark, all who are separated from conscience, whatever that is, all who are separated from that are slaves. And, you know, slavery is slavery. So that's what you need to be saved from, is being separated from your Creator, or being separated from conscience. But meaning is something that is ongoing. To pursue meaning, that's something that it's not a binary thing. It's not a switch that you can flip. It's something that it's an ongoing process. And I think it's an endless process, actually. So the two things, salvation versus meaning, I think in the past I've probably used, or at least didn't really necessarily use the terms. Maybe I did use the terms sort of synonymously, you know, swapping one for the other, but it's also, you know, in my own mind, I think I've, you know, hadn't really conceptualized the two things adequately, put it that way. So I think it's useful to get the right concepts for things, because that can be quite useful. So, but, you know, what does it mean to find salvation? Now, again, you know, you kind of go back to the Bible, and then, you know, what do Christians say? You know, and of course they've got the thing that they push, you know, and or most of them push the idea that you have to ask Christ into your heart and all that. And I think there's some merit to that. I'm not denying that that's useful, but if you're looking for meaning, that's just the first step. Salvation's really you could say that's the first step, or unifying with your conscience is really just the first step towards meaning. And I think that's where people probably fall down, because they don't see how, you know, maybe they don't even realize they're looking for meaning. And maybe if they do, then they look at, you know, Christianity, let's say, and they say, well, these silly people are thinking that all they have to do is just mumble a few words and all of a sudden they're going to have meaning, or a path to meaning. And that's, you know, and I can quite well understand why, you know, the atheist type would think that way, and think it's just superstitious. You know, who are you praying to? Excuse me. So I can I can see why they see the way they think the way they think. But at the same time, I think it's also possible to, if you don't like particular words, I think it's possible to, if you think of these concepts in the right way, then you don't have to, it's not like, because they'll say, well, it's a, some sky, they'll call God a sky daddy or whatever. And maybe that is the way some people look at it, but that's not, I don't know, I don't feel comfortable thinking of God in that way. Or thinking of a creator in that way. People, they pray for a new car, or they pray for a pay raise, or pay, I don't know, that to me that doesn't make any sense. That really doesn't. Is that meaning? Wanting your new, is it fun to have a new car? Yeah, I've had a series of new vehicles. It's nice. Is that meaningful? On the scale of meaning, probably not. Is it fun to watch entertainment of various kinds? Yeah, it can be great. And some entertainment can be great, but is it meaningful? Not necessarily. Not unless you can take some lessons, let's say, from any kind of, I've always maintained that any kind of good movie or television show that people really like, mass numbers of people really like, probably is a morality play of some sort. There's always a hero, and then you have the adverse conditions and the adversaries, and then the hero has to go through a struggle in order to do the right thing in the end. And if it's a good morality play, then in the very end, the hero finds meaning. And then the people around him or her that surround the hero also benefit. And that's basically the story that we're looking for. And there's billions and billions of different ways you can tell that story, but it's basically that's the plot, and that's what we're looking for. That so we're looking for that story for our own existence. Sort of point the way. So that's what, entertainment can be good for. But we're really looking for that story to play out in our own existence. Because that's, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do with your time that's useful? But I think that now that I've kind of thought about it out loud for a little bit, so this whole thing is very useful for me. Now that I've thought about it out loud for a while, there is a difference between salvation and meaning. But the instinct that we have as human beings for meaning is probably kind of what drives us towards the idea of salvation, because without being able to unify with conscience, if we're separated from whatever conscience is, if we're separated from that in any substantial way, then, where that conscience becomes the enemy, then we're cut off from any source of meaning. It's almost like, you know, cutting a plant off of, you know, water and nutrition. Or sunlight. Because at the very root of consciousness, of whatever consciousness is, you know, and of course that's me. But whatever that is, I think at the very root of it, there is, you have a conscience. That's at the root, and you know, that's at the root of consciousness. And I am not my conscience, but yet I need to be unified with it. But I am not my conscience. Whatever we as human, you know, conscious human beings are, we have this point of awareness. You know, we can be aware of this and be aware of that, and you know, kind of one thing at a time. It's not really easy to, you know, you have this idea you're multitasking. You're not. You're really doing one thing at a time. But we have this point of awareness, and that we are the point of awareness. We're not our thoughts, and we actually are not our conscience. But in order to be conscious in a meaningful way, you need to be unified with that conscience. And I think that's, now that I've thought about it out loud, unification with conscience is salvation. That's what you should be praying for, however you do it. That's what should be in your mind. To be unified with your conscience. And it's basically the same thing as being unified with your creator, or kind of asking the creator to come into your heart. Same thing. But you can do that in a genuine way, in a way where you really see the need to do that, and you can do it in a fake and phony and plastic way, where, you know, it's you know, you kind of go to the country club church, and you all sort of stare, give each other the glance and smile and what have you, and kind of play church, pretend like you're good people, and then you know, it's a kind of a social club, you know, and social clubs can, you know, be, you know, it's useful to you know, to have friends and kind of socialize with people. That actually has a use. But there's also danger in it, as there is with everything. You can kind of take anything and misuse it. You know, you can take, you know, it's like a knife. You can use it as a you know, a thing to, you know, it's incredibly useful to a tool. Or you can use it for destructive purposes. And what you have to be careful of is that the same thing that's true in the physical world for various tools like knives and what have you, even nuclear bombs could be used for useful purposes. Or not. But in the same way that tools can be used for good or bad purposes in the physical world, the same thing is true for the things I'm talking about, you know, what you're conscious of. Entertainment, for example, you can abuse it. You can misuse it. Use it as a distraction. Or it can be used for a good, you know, to, like I was talking about before, for sort of reminding you of the hero. Kind of, you know, because a morality play really is sort of an acted out or an embodied entertaining version of conscience. And I think that's why we have an affinity for the hero myth. And so we are, you know, we do have this deep instinct for meaning. But in order to really find the instinct, or I'm sorry, in order to really pursue the instinct, to do something with the instinct that's useful, you really do need salvation. And salvation is basically what the, you know, it's basically what they say it is. You ask the creator to kind of come into your heart or whatever. Or, you know, you can think of it as kind of unifying with conscience, because that's God talking to you. He's, you know, that's God is right at the base of your conscious awareness, whether you realize that or not. I don't think a lot of people realize that, but it's absolutely true. But we've been given this thing of free will where we don't have to follow it. It's telling us what we should do. It's there. If we, all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now by thinking out loud. All we have to do is ask. And, you know, seek and you shall find. But you got to really want it. You know, it's useful to be genuine. You can't just mouth the words of a so-called sinner's prayer. You can't just do that and expect, you know, I have a problem with people just kind of expecting plastic results. You know, because I think that what they say is true, but do people really want to unify when they say that? Do they really want to unify with conscience? Do they really want to unify with their creator? Or do they think it's going to be an advantage? I guess this is a whole other topic. But, you know, people look at that as an advantage. Oh, well, I'll be able to, you know, once I ask the creator into my heart, then, boy, I can just get the new car and the new house and everything's going to go smoothly and, you know, my kids are going to behave and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I think that that's kind of a poor way of looking at it. Yeah, you want all those things, but is that really what you want? Is that really what's driving you? What is meaning? And meaning is not really to be found in those things. They're great things, don't get me wrong. But people do things backwards. You know, there's a line in the Bible, you know, pursue these things and the other things will be added, meaning that, you know, you pursue the meaningful things and the physical things can kind of come along of their own accord, but people pursue the wrong things. They've got it turned around. They're looking for the material stuff, thinking that that's going to be mean, you know, satisfy the instinct for meaning, and it just doesn't do it. And it's still kind of a mystery what does do it, although, you know, you can kind of get partway there. As I think it's an endless journey, you know, finding meaning, deriving meaning, finding meaning, I believe is endless. But, you know, if you're a, you know, human being here right now, you need something to need to find something to that you're good at, that you can do for other people. Now, usually that revolves around getting paid, you know, because if you're paid for whatever it is, then you kind of, that's sort of proof that you got a, like your dollar bill or whatever, and that's sort of proof that you kind of got proof that what you did was useful for someone else, and that's a useful way of measuring it. But it can also mean, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're getting paid for it in dollars. You can be getting paid for it in other ways, or not necessarily paid for it, but rewarded for it. So it's not necessary that it's useful. It would be useful. Work is a useful place to start. Is you need some reason to get out of bed in the morning, and if you've got to find that reason, maybe you have to go through several things in order to find it. It's useful, and it's also useful to make mistakes, absolutely, because then you make a mistake. Once you're able to make a mistake, then you find out, hey, I know what, now I know that this wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And that's very useful, too. It's incredibly useful. So, anyway, I think I better bring this to a close. What time is it now? It's almost 7 o'clock. It's 6:55. So I think I'm going to end this and get myself around so I can be at my appointment by 9 a.m., So hope everyone has a great Monday, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.